So let's see. I'd been married less than a year. So I got pregnant pretty soon after getting married. And this is my first husband, Lars. And the pregnancy was fine. But what happened is that in the, I think I was around 36 weeks, I started to develop preeclampsia. So it was my last day of work before I went on leave, that I'd gone to a visit, which was convenient because I worked in the hospital. So I just popped over and went for my visit, and it was my last day of work, and they put me on bed rest because of the preeclampsia. Mm. And then, so for the next week or so, they tried inducing me with prostaglandin gel, and they did some testing and this and that. And I had to lie on my left side in bed, and it was hot. It was July. It was so hot. And I was like a beached whale. And oh my God. And I was just swelling. Like my nose was large. Oh. I was just swelling. So finally they induced me. They took me in to induce me when I was 37 weeks or 38 weeks. Mm-hmm. I think it was 37. It was 37 when they found it, 38 weeks when I was induced. And so we went in early in the morning, and they started me on the Pitocin drip. And, you know, I had to come in not eating anything. I was lying in bed, and, you know, this was back when camcorders were huge, and Lars had this massive, like, camcorder. So somewhere here I've got this VCR of me, like watching TV, and I'm going, oh, wait, just a minute. And I'm like having a contraction, but like looking back on it now, it's laughable. I mean, it wasn't even, I don't even think it was painful. It was probably just a tensing. So this went on all day, and around, you know, so literally like there at 5 a.m., started me in Pitocin, I'm lying there, you know, and around 6 p.m., the midwife who was on call, who I'd never seen except for, like, I saw all the midwives. That's the way they did it. You went to visit and you kind of cycle them through. And the woman that I saw the very last time, the one who found that I had preeclampsia and put me on bed rest, I thought she was amazing. And she just happened to be on call when it was time for me to be induced. So she came in and she sat by the bed, and I was lying on my left side, and she said to me, Sarah, you know, nothing's happening. We don't want to risk irritating the uterus, but the Pitocin's really not doing anything. And so we're going to send you home and have you come back in 3 more days and try this again. And I was so disappointed because I knew she was going on vacation the next day, and I really, really wanted her to birth this baby. Mm-hmm. I didn't do any preparation for this childbirth. I didn't take any classes. I mean, I read like an idiot. I read everything I could get my hands on, but I had no real plan except for I really wanted to go natural. I wanted to try and avoid anything. And I thought, I knew that they used laughing gas, and so I had let them know that I'd be interested in laughing gas. So as she was telling me this, my waters broke. So I'm lying on my left side, and out of like this internal sensation of like a balloon exploding, mm-hmm. and like thwacking my cervix. It was just like an explosive thwack. And I remember going, ah, and just looking. And then I just felt, you know, the water everywhere, the liquid everywhere. And I looked at her and I said, my waters just broke. And I'd had this nurse, this insipid, like brand new 20-year-old nurse all day with me who was getting ready to go off. And she was like a hen. We called her the cackling hen. And she was just talking on stuff. And so she lifts my sheets. She goes, yep, her water broke. And she's just like, oh, but now I'm going off. And I just wanted her to leave. You know, she was just such a pain. So the water's everywhere. They're beginning like, okay, well, now my water's broke, so I'm staying. Mm-hmm. And honest to God, within a minute or two, this overwhelming nausea overtook me. And with that came panic, because I hated throwing up. But it wasn't the panic over, I mean, it was panic over the nausea, but it was like, oh my God, like something suddenly started happening. Mm-hmm. And I was staring at him. And I said, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to throw up. And there was just like this surge of something happening in me. And so they got me a pan. I didn't throw up, but like all of a sudden it was just horrible. And I went from having no pain all day and nothing happening to barreling into excruciating contractions. And I think this only lasted like 40 minutes, maybe like a little over half hour, 40 minutes. And then it was time to push. But during that time period, I dilated from like 3 to 10. And the way I describe it to people, it's like, you know, the Freddy Krueger movies where they have the knives on, he has the knives on the fingertips. It was like coming up into my uterus and then just like shredding it apart. Oh, and I lost my mind. I absolutely lost my mind. I was screaming. I was trying so hard to, you know, the nurse was saying, you know, breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. And I'm like writhing on the bed and rocking back and forth. I was in so much unbelievable pain. And I couldn't think. I couldn't think. I couldn't. And I look over at Lars and he was just looking at me horrified, just like, oh my God. And so this went on and on. And luckily the new nurse that came in did not talk. My midwife, unless she was asking me to change position or something, she did not talk. Mm-hmm. Thank God. It was perfect. It was just what I needed. I remember I was lying there at one point and they finally got me laughing gas. And so I was, you know, inhaling it and I was just lying on my back and I had my knees were up, and one of them I was just like going back and forth in my leg, and she had her hand on my knee. It was just following it. It was so comforting. She wasn't saying anything. I just knew she was there. And the laughing gas did nothing, but it made my lips numb and the top of my thighs numb. Like you could have stuck a fork in my thighs.
Oh my God.
But it did nothing for the pain. And I just remember at some point thinking to myself, oh my God, I sound like a wounded animal. There were these high sort of keening woos coming out of me. Mm-hmm. I was just, honest to God, I was in another world. I couldn't endure the pain. I couldn't endure it. And so it just went on and on. But really, thank God, it was like 40 minutes. It was so fast. Mm-hmm. And then my midwife said to me, do you feel like you have to push? So she must have noticed me grunt or bear down or something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was like thinking, like, I don't know. I can't tell anything. And but then I felt like, oh, my God, yes, I want to push. So then they started breaking down the bed, and I think I was just in utter shock to go all day with nothing happening, no pain. It's just like blah, blah, blah. All those hours, like 12 hours, and all of a sudden to be blasted into this experience and the pain that was part of it. So they were breaking down the bed, and I'm just lying there still like wondering how I'm going to get through this. And then she said, she checked me and I was fully dilated and she told me that I could start pushing whenever I liked. And the pushing helped the pain, even though it was still very, very painful. It felt like I was pushing into it. And so, mm-hmm. I was struck by how involuntary it was. I mean, mm-hmm. I couldn't not push. So I was giving it my all, you know, I'm like giving it out my all, but also thinking to myself, this doesn't feel right. Like, I don't feel like I'm in the right position. I was flat on my back and it felt like I was pushing uphill.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt like, seriously, like they had my legs back, like way back mm-hmm. up in the stirrups and they're holding them. And I'm like, this just feels like, it feels like so much more work than it should be. So I pushed and pushed and pushed. It was a half hour of pushing, which was pretty quick. And I still remember with one of the pushes, the sensation, it must have been a really good push. I still remember the internal sensation of feeling him move down. Mm. It was just such an interesting sensation for him coming down. And then I forgot to say there was a leak in the laughing gas. So even though I got it I probably only had the last 10 minutes as I was in stage two before the pushing, mm-hmm. but I kept at it during the pushing too. But meanwhile, it was leaking into the room and giving everyone a headache.
Oh my God.
I found that out afterwards. And my midwife also, was just about to be diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
Oh my God.
You know, so I always think back to that thinking, oh my God, the woman like 2 weeks later was going to be diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and she was given a headache from my laughing gas. I just feel horrible. She was amazing. She was so amazing. Just so calm and quiet, mm-hmm. which is what I wanted. Because mm-hmm. I just kept thinking, I'm a lunatic. I'm making all this noise on the unit, but I couldn't help it. I just, until I began to push, I was screaming my head off. It was just, it was unbearable.
Mm-hmm.
The pushing, I didn't feel like I needed to scream with that. It just mm-hmm. felt better.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, Jacob was crowning and I think they asked me if I wanted to reach down. I was just like, no. I just like wanted to get this over with. And so he crowned, he came out and he's on my chest and I'm just traumatized. I'm just thinking, oh my God, what the hell happened? It was like mm-hmm. an hour and a half from beginning to end, the entire thing. I'm like, what the hell was this?
Wow.
You know, I've got my son here and my first thought, which is, I don't know if I've told this to you. I may have said this. My first thought. So here's this boy, like it wasn't real until he was like, I knew I was pregnant. I had this conversation. I had this relationship with him in me, mm-hmm. but there was another reality to it. As soon as he joined us, we went from two to three, all of a sudden we're three people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be like that for, I mean, he's not going away, but my first thought, I've got this little guy on me. And my first thought was, oh my God, now he has to die. Like he's now out in the world, but someday he's going to have to die.
Wow. Sarah.
Like it was,
that's amazing.
I know. I felt so happy that he was there. I mean, I was one of those women who like, I always wanted to have children
mm-hmm.
so much so that I married a man I never should have married
mm-hmm.
because I was feeling my clock ticking,
mm-hmm.
but I, God damn it. I wanted children. Mm-hmm. You know? So then they took him over to the thing and checked him out and all that. And I'm like, and they were sewing me up because he came out like this. He mm-hmm. came out with his hand on the side. So the everything, so I guess I tore, but it wasn't a severe tear. So it didn't go into the perineum or anything, but they did mm-hmm. need to stitch me up. Mm-hmm. And this caused problems with my second birth
mm-hmm.
because both births were precipitous. So what they turned the Pitocin off very quickly as soon as I went into labor, because it was contraction, right. contraction after contraction. So they just took me off completely. And I just barreled into what my midwife called a train wreck delivery. which I also had the second time. So it turns out that I just have precipitous.
Like, yeah, I mean, I would certainly call that precipitous.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as I go into labor, you know, boom. So the same thing happened similarly the second time in with different variables.
Right.
But so you're stitching me up. I'm lying there just trying to wrap my head around all of this. And then they brought him back over and put him on my, put him on me. And I started nursing. He took off like a pro immediately. So he's like, and I remember that feeling of like, oh my God, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it. I couldn't believe it was so strong.
Mm-hmm.
It was like someone attaching the strongest vacuum hose. It wasn't pain, but it was so strong. And he just took off, you know? And so he's nursing away and making noises and, you know, like really like there's this creature on me. And I called my mom and they're still like, doing things down there, you know, the placenta, cleaning me up, stitching, all that. I'm on the phone with my mom. She can hear him on the phone. Lars is just standing there, also traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think enough is done for men. I mean, that's something I'd like to do research with, is how men experience all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So finally I'm all stitched up. My midwife goes away to do paperwork and all that. I have a couple nurses with me. They tell me to get up and go to the bathroom. And I got up and I wobbled into the bathroom. I'm sitting there and I thought, oh my God, I'm going to faint. It was just like that blackness was coming on. And I grabbed the thing and I said, I think I'm going to faint. And they said, well, you shouldn't. There's no reason to. Like your blood pressure is fine and everything's fine. You shouldn't. And no one came in.
That's crazy.
So I'm just, like, grabbing on, you know. Finally, I got my head down. Finally, I kind of recalibrated. Got into a chair. They put Jacob in my lap and off we wheeled. So he was born in Mott Hospital. But recovery was at that time, not everyone, but the old women's hospital, which was the old hospital, was still being used as for recovery. So I was wheeled all the way through the hospital, blah, 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 to this dingy unit, old unit.
Mm-hmm.
The very last room on the floor. And where they proceeded to drop me off, get me in bed, and I didn't see anyone until we were discharged, which was a day and a half later. At that point, you were supposed to be, like, insurance wouldn't cover you staying. Like 12 hours was what it was. And for some reason, I was kept. So he was born, like, at 7:30 at night. I was kept till the next night and left early the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember the reason. I don't know how they got me the extra hours. So it was like 24 hours. But this is what is weird, because I didn't know this at the time.
Mm.
But since I became a nurse and did labor and delivery and all that, no one came in to do fundal checks. No one came in. I could have hemorrhaged to death in my room and no one would have known.
That's crazy. There were no nurses.
I think part of the problem was that at that time still, midwifery patients were unusual, and it wasn't the midwives. They'd only been practicing for a couple of years at that point, I think, maybe 2 years. I don't know. And I really felt a difference on the unit, like, oh, you're a midwife patient,
right? Yeah. Right.
Who are you guys? So there was a real sort of degradation to it.
Wow.
So.
Just in the recovery area or also during the
delivery? No, just in the recovery. I didn't feel it in the delivery, just during the recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So Jacob was in the little plastic bassinet there. So this was like, I don't know, by the time we got in the room, it was like 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And Lars completely crashed on the little chair that you can fold out, and he was out snoring like a banshee. And Jacob was fussing. So even though they told me not to have him in bed with me before Lars went to sleep, he gave me Jacob. So I'm nursing this little guy and he would not stop nursing. I mean,
oh my gosh. It was
like,
dude.
Yeah, it was like nonstop nursing. Finally, I got him to like settle a bit. So he slept next to me in the bed. I'm like on my side. He slept there and he would start. I remember he would start like getting restless and I would just sort of just breathe on a little bit and talk to him. He'd simmer down a little bit. I just love this little guy immediately. Like he was so sweet. And the next day some friends came to visit and we had pizza. And I remember before they came, I remember getting out of bed. Like Lars had to haul me out of bed. I had no strength. I couldn't like sit up. So he's hauling me out of bed, I'm standing up and I'm like, shuffling. I'm looking out the window. I'm looking out my door. There was no shower in my room. You had to go across the hall to a shower. And I'd see these women who had given birth and they're like trucking down to the shower, showers. And I'm thinking like, how could they walk? And I'm just like doing these little shuffles to the bathroom to pee, peeing the entire time. Like I would get out of bed and just pee all the way into the bathroom. I couldn't like, I had no control, you know? Looking at these other women like what the hell. And you know, after my daughter though, I was one of those women.
Yeah, see, then you had it down.
I wasn't anything like the first time. But so that was basically the story of my delivery. It was very, very shocking to me. You know, I would read these books talking about the beautiful surge of contractions. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem was I never had any easing into it. It's just, I went from nothing into like transition. And so all of my labor was like transition, that really horrible. It was so horrible.
Yeah, I mean, to dilate that much in that short amount of time, I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy.
It was crazy. It was crazy. And there was like there was no wait between the contractions. It's like,
there couldn't have been if you accomplished like, that much in that short
time. It's not like I'd have one and then I'd be able to like catch my breath, you know?
No.
I'd have maybe 10 seconds and here would come another one. And so it was like unending, unbearable pain.
Yeah.
Just horrific.
That's remarkable.
It was horrible. It was horrible. I did not like it.
Just to be clear,
I did not like it. And of course, you know, both births, because they were so fast, just put horrible pressure on my pelvic floor, you know? So I found out later that I did one of the research studies and I don't have one of the, I'm blanking on it. You know, one of the two muscles that we test for
what are they? Levator and the what?
Yeah. Levator ani and,
oh shoot. What's the other one?
And the other one.
The other one.
One of them completely snapped. It's just not there at all. Oh, and the God. Other one is kind of shredded a bit.
Wow. Sarah, so, that's pretty serious. I don't want to use the word damage in a context that involves your children, but
yeah, there was no, like they didn't like come down slowly. Like with Emma, I pushed twice and she just blasted through, you know,
I love the sentimental terminology.
I mean, really, it's like my muscles, my uterus is so efficient at birthing.
Birthing. Your uterus is more efficient than the rest of your body. The rest of your body is like, we're not ready.
We're not ready.
Like, I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
No. Yeah, it was.
Your poor cervix. It's like, there's not an opening.
Yeah.
Wow. That is remarkable.
Yeah.
Do you think, how much of a role do you think that Pitocin played in that the first time? I don't know if you had it the second time.
Pitocin. Second time I didn't have it. I didn't have to be induced. I don't think it played a role in it, because
what it sounds happened, like it wasn't doing anything.
It wasn't doing anything, but it did start labor. But
yeah.
As soon as labor started, I took off on my own, because it was exactly what happened with my daughter the second time, with no Pitocin. I went from nothing to my water breaking at home and full on train wreck again.
This is just the way you birth.
Yeah, she came.
That's incredible.
45 minutes later after my water broke.
Wow. I mean, that is so rough on your body. And yet, Sarah, like some people, you know, labor for like a day and a half and you're just like, no,
I know.
I'm done.
And I don't know what's worth, because like, right? What's worse? Because my sister, oh my God, she was like one of those 72 hour people.
Yeah.
Like, and the baby was turned, so it was also back labor. Just horrendous. Just, you know, and vomiting from the pain and all that. And I'm thinking, okay, what would be worse? I'd rather have a train wreck in an hour and a half and 45 minutes rather than a 72 hour
horrific
thing. Oh my God.
What is with you guys? You're just birthing is just like intense and dramatic.
Right. Right. It wasn't anything that I envisioned it would be like at all. Mm-hmm. And so it was really good for me when I actually worked in labor and delivery to see the births, to help out with the births,
and
see how different they all could be, but also just how different they could be and how it was kind of rare when it happened that quickly. It
just didn't seem to happen. Especially on a first birth. That's very rare.
Yeah.
Huh. It is such a surreal moment, right? When you, like you say, you go from just like two people to being three and people and also being parents.
And life is never the same.
Never.
I remember talking, Lars and I talking about that. And then I have friends who had children and everyone says the same thing. I mean, not everyone, but most people who think about things like that, they bring that up, how that, that transition from... Yeah, you're pregnant, you know you're going to have a baby, but when it suddenly that child is there and how the things in life that had meaning before and concerned you, who cares about them? Mm-hmm. Like the world turns on its axis and you have a whole different paradigm for what life is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And you can't know it unless you've done it. It's like my career, which I was so focused on and thinking about and fantasizing and like, what? My career?
I'm not doing that anymore. I don't want to do it anymore.
Who cares? There's this being,
that
I'm responsible for.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, thank you.
You're welcome.